we can be impressed with you, not with individuals, but Lord, with you and the greatness of you. Lord, we lift up our class. Lord, as we're journeying through the Bible, help us to see what this little book can teach us and encourage us with. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I chose for the theme verses this morning, whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. It's referring to, this is a lot about truth, this is a lot about doctrine, especially about the doctrine of who Jesus Christ is. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. The whole idea of this passage of Scripture, and I think it's a story about what was going on in this lady's life. The occasion of the letter, the way I'm looking at it, is it's addressed to an elect lady of her children. That John is referring to an individual, not the local church. We mentioned that already. This is the only book in the Bible that's written or addressed to a lady or a woman. In 2 John, we are warned against, again, concerning the heresy of Gnosticism. And John gives us practical instructions for dealing with those that teach heresy. So we're learning some really good, interesting things in this book. It is a short book. John's teaching is in perfect agreement with the Pauline epistles. We mentioned this on Wednesday night. It says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. And in this book, you're going to see that John is very, very tough on those that are Gnostics or teaching heresies, and he tells us how to deal with them. Now, remember what you said, what was Gnosticism? Well, we learned last week a little bit about Gnosticism. Talked about many times they deny that Christ came in the flesh. And we talked about how modern Gnosticism denies that Christ came in deity. And by asserting that Jesus was just a holy man or a man, and that is one of our fundamentals of truth. He had to be God when he came to this world. He was born without a sin nature. He lived a perfect life and he died on the cross. It was, as we mentioned this last week, it was and is the most deadly teaching that Christianity has known. And it's not something for us to play with. It's something we should avoid with deadly poison. And that's what John's teaching here. He says, avoid this. This is something you do not want to mess with. And that's the point here. Now, the big difference between us and every other religion in the world is that Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was God that became man for us and died on the cross. And people question that. You go to the other cults that are out there, like the Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons and even the Islam, and they have different views of who Jesus Christ is. And that's what the problem is. And that's what the Bible is talking about when it talks about, as a theme verse, there is saying, if you abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, and he that abideth not in the Christ, it's talking about how they look and how they view Jesus Christ. And in 1 John, we talked about he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Things like that is where John is coming to, and he's writing to this woman. He said, why is he writing to this woman? Here's my thinking, that, there's a lot of deceivers in the day and time we lived in. And this woman was a person that was given the hospitality, probably took care of preachers when they came to town, disciples and things like that, and helped with the cause of Christ. And someone came into her house one time that did not believe that she believed about Jesus Christ. And when this happened, she either wrote a letter or through her children expressed her concern what to do with these people. And this is, once again, this is my thought. And this is the reason why John wrote this letter. Either that, he's someone who he had great care for, and he found out that this woman had done this, and he is writing this letter, and he is saying, this is what you're supposed to do when someone like this comes to your house. This is how you're supposed to act. So some of the key words. I think truth is one of the key words. You see in chapter 1, verse number 1, it says, love in the truth. This is how we are to love. We cannot do things outside the realm of spiritual truth for love's sake. And then we should never ever compromise. We should never ever compromise the truth and love. And that's, it goes together. When you have truth on one side and you have love on the other, truth will always prevail, because only through truth can God truly work. And that's why it says, and he says, he speaks in chapter 1, verse number 1, he says that he loves in the truth. And you see in verse number 2, for the truth's sake. You know, once again, this is important to help us understand. This is why we serve. This is why we love. Not because a person is pleasant, not because a person is comfortable to be around. He's saying, he's reminding this lady, I love you in the truth's sake. And the reason why we do everything we do is because of the truth's sake. And we must remember, there is a common ground for our fellowship. Our common ground is not based off of, well, what we like and dislike. You know, friendships can come from that. Time of spending company with one another is one thing. Our common ground is based off of Jesus Christ, the truth of Jesus Christ. That is the connecting factor that joins us together. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying that it is a, for the truth's sake. And that's what we got to remember this. In verse number 4, it says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. And that's why I'm thinking that maybe when he was out and he was working, he saw these children that were up, this lady's children. They heard the story about these people that came to their house, and this is why he's responding to it. And he's saying, walking in truth. And the emphasis there is it's a continual walk. So we see the word truth is mentioned many times, 5 different times in this passage of Scripture. It's a short book of the Bible, only 13 verses. You say, why in the world are we looking at it? Because it teaches us some really great truths. You know, we are in love. We love each other, one another, and the truth. You know, that dismisses so much of this pettiness, doesn't it? If we are really truly going to love one another because we are fellowshipping around Jesus Christ, the pettiness that keeps us apart and the pettiness that helps us not want to serve one another and love one another and join together for the Great Commission, you know what? It dismisses all that because of the fact that our truth is so, our love is so much more based off of whether I like someone, whether someone, how someone dresses, or whether someone has the same personality or from a different part of the country or different colors, different races. It's because we have the truth as a common ground. And that's what what John is writing here. Another thing, not only is it truth, there's another word that's found, doctrine. And in doctrine, it's given as an importance, that doctrine is important. We looked at that in verse number 9. It's referring to the doctrine of Christ. Now, 1 Timothy 3:16 says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And the problem here is that there are people that are living even today that say God was not manifest in the flesh. They think that God created Jesus Christ, and that is a heresy, and that is what we need to stay away from. Anytime somebody tries to tell you something differently than that, you need not to listen. You need to, in a sense, run away. Commandment or commandments is found 4 times. This is used in 2 different ways. When it's used in the singular, the commandment is referring to the command of loving one to another, and we saw that. And when it's used in the plural, it refers to Christ's commandment. So we see the key words that are mentioned there. Let's keep on going. The eternal permanent value for today. Eternal permanent value is continue in love for the brethren, but beware of deceivers. You know, this book does, I think, John's writing to this woman saying, yes, we are supposed to love one another. Yes, we are supposed to be a help to one another. Yes, we are supposed to do all these things for the brethren. Love one another. That was a commandment we heard. That was a commandment that we learned. But when it comes to deceivers, when it comes to those who are being wicked, when it comes to those who are trying to turn people from Jesus Christ, you're supposed to treat them a different way. The Bible says in 1 John 3:10, it says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. He is teaching him in 1 John chapter 3 the importance of love. But here he's also saying, look, there's 2 different groups of people in the world. There's the children of God and there's the children of the devil. And we need to make sure when he's saying love one another, he is in reference to the other believers. Here's our outline here. First, it's a word of commendation. He is praising her. In verses 1 through 4, let's look here in verses 1 through 4 again. It says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love also in truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. So once again, he's saying that he loves all those who have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. And this is in reference to Jesus Christ, and this is why we do everything, is for the truth's sake, for his sake. He dwells in us, and the truth dwells in us, and shall be forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from the God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, and truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I have found that thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And so he once again, he gives him, John does not deny the bond that exists between him and the lady. He rejoices greatly that he found this woman's children walking in truth, and as we have received the commandment from the Father. Here's his commendation. He's saying, look, I was happy to see that your children were walking in truth. This is, you know, they were zealous for the truth, as she was. He commends her for this. This is something that should be commended. There are so many times where children are not doing what's right and not walking after the truth. And he's saying, look, I see what's in your child's life is the same thing that was in your life. And we want that for all of us, that we all desire that. And we all want our children to be walking in the truth. But he commends her for this. The next thing I want you to see, he speaks about the commandment, a word of command. A word of command, you see in verse number 5, he says, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. So we see here that the commandment it's giving is to love one another. Jesus even said it in himself. He says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. He wasn't saying, look, when you go out and you speak in tongues, or when you go out and you do all these miracles, they're going to know that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. He's saying the way that people are going to know that you're disciples of Jesus Christ is how you treat one another. And that's the sad thing, is that's one of the biggest problems is in most churches today. They don't demonstrate love one to another. And that's what John is reminding her. She says, look, I know these guys are coming to your house, and I'm telling you to send them away. I'm telling you not to wish them Godspeed, not to give them the right hand of fellowship. He says, but this is not because of the fact that it does not contradict what I taught you before. He says, I want you to get this and understand this. You're supposed to love one another. And he says, as you love one another, men will you know that you're my disciples, Jesus Christ's disciples, by loving one another. And that's why we speak so much of treating one another with kindness, treating one another as Christ would treat us, is because of the fact we desire for people to know that we're his disciples. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles back to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2 speaks a little bit about having to love one another. And once again, I think this is kind of an appendage. These 2 John and 3 John was written to the same group of people, and he is writing these little books that the Lord saw to preserve in the scriptures, and he's helping them understand something. This lady's confused. She doesn't know what to do with these people that are coming to her house, and he's giving them wisdom here. 1 John chapter 2, verse 7 says, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. When he's referring to the beginning here, he's referring to when Jesus Christ had taught them. The old commandment is the word which we have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He's showing the difference there of where we are living now. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. And here's the idea, is that one of the ways that you show and prove that you're a Christian is because of the love that you have for one another. Verse number 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Now, there is a problem here if we hate our brothers. There's something there that we must work on, and we must understand. John is making a big deal out of this love idea and how we're supposed to love one another. Let's go back to 2 John again. 2 John 1, 6, he not only refers to the commandment that's given of loving one another, but here in verse number 6, he refers to the commandments. He says, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment here, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. So remember, the first one is the commandment, which is the main commandment. He's referring to his loving one to another. He is referring to what this woman is saying, what this woman is dealing with. Here in verse number 6, he refers to commandments. And this is saying that these are all the commandments that Jesus has given us. And that's important that we follow them. And here, John 14:15. If you love me, what's it say? Keep my commandments. This is how you show that you love God. How you show that you're a believer, and how you show the world that you're a believer is the way you treat one another. And how do you treat one another? I mean, that's this, and we need to have a heart for God, but God has a heart for us. We need to have a heart for one another. And as we have a heart for one another, that will show the world that we are different, and will show the world that we care differently for one another. This pettiness between Christians is something that should not be in the house of God. But then we see the commandments that are referred to here. It's the idea that he gave us commandments to live by. If you love me, keep my commandments. This is simple. In the Bible, so many times, simple and simplicity. Yes, sir.
Isn't the commandments still based on the first 10 commandments as far as the Old Testament?
We do have the ten commandments that was given to us in the Old Testament. They are applicable today. They're all repeated in the New Testament except for one. This one here is something that he's saying is that loving one another, the law changed. No longer are we under the law. Now we're doing things based off the fact that we love Christ and we love God. Because we love him, no longer do we need that to have a right relationship with him. Was that an answer to your question? Or yes and no? But yes, these commandments that he's referring to here, he's referring to the commandments that was given by Jesus Christ here. But yes, they do apply to the Old Testament. The Old Testament God is the same as the New Testament God. And those commandments coincide together. All 10 of the commandments was, 9 of the 10 of the commandments was written out explicitly in the New Testament. One of the commandments was just mentioned towards in the New Testament. These are all things that apply to us today. So these are commandments that Christ gave. They were to love one another. Let's keep on going. Then there's a word of caution. John has been working his way up to this. This is his main purpose for the letter. He's telling this woman how you're supposed to deal with someone who comes to you and says, well, I don't believe Jesus Christ was God. I believe Jesus Christ was a good man. Are we supposed to fellowship with him? Are we supposed to contribute to them? Are we supposed to encourage them in their work? And that's what he's teaching us here. Let's look here in 2 John, verse number 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is the deceiver and an antichrist. So according to what the Bible is saying here, if a person comes to you not believing who Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ was God that came into the flesh, that they are a deceiver, that when they're trying to deceive others. Verse number 8, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. And in verse number 9, you can see that John was supposedly, you know, that love apostle, that love disciple. Everything he did was about love. But you see, this is how you're supposed to respond to him. This is not something that's nice. This is something that is, if most people would consider rude. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Son, the Father, and the Son. Look what it says in verse number 10. It says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine. What's the doctrine? The one referring to Jesus Christ coming in the flesh as God. And he says, bring not this doctrine, receive it not into your house. It means don't even let him in your house. When Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door, Mormons come to your door, don't invite them to your house. Don't entertain them. Don't spend time with them in the idea of just giving them a chance to spread their false doctrine. And it says, neither bid him Godspeed. That means don't even say, well, don't even wish them well on their journey. Why is that? It's because the Bible refers to him as a deceiver, as a deceiver. And that is tough. Everybody says, well, John was a sweet guy, and he did all these loving and all these kind. All he talked about was love. Well, here in verse number 10, he says, look, don't let him in your house. Don't wish him Godspeed. Don't do anything that's going to encourage them in their work because of the fact they need Jesus Christ, and they do not have Jesus Christ right now. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Wow. I mean, that's powerful stuff there. He says, look, if you go and you help them along the way, you are helping them in their work. Now, I think that's important to understand. You say, Pastor, what do you do with Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons? Well, many times when someone's there and they come to me and they talk to me, I will ask them some questions. I will not give them a chance to try to spread their doctrine to me, but I know a little bit about their religion. And lots of times there's one person who's grounded there, and there's one person in their faith, and there's one person who is a new convert. So by me asking my questions and how it contraries to the Bible, then I give them a chance to hear what I think is the truth. Now, I wouldn't suggest that for someone who does not know the Bible that well or does not understand their false religions. And I'm not saying you need to go out and study all their false religions, but there is a lot of untruth in there that specifically, there are certain questions I'll ask a Mormon, and there are certain questions I'll ask a Jehovah's Witness too. And that's not trying to invite them into my house and fellowship with them, because there is no truth that we're surrounding. That's not true fellowship. And it's not someone we're getting into our house. So that John here has a word of caution here. He says, you need to be careful here. You need to pay attention here. Let's look here a couple things about this word of caution. First, he says to this woman, once again, this lady, we know that sometimes, and even the Bible talks about how the women sometimes are easily deceived and they're led away. So he's saying to this lady here, he's, look, there's a lot of deceivers out there. There's many deceivers. Don't be surprised by this. Don't be surprised that there's going to be people that are going to try to deceive you in their work. Now, and he says, well, what is the test of reality? What is the truth? How do you know whether or not they are truly believers? And 1 John talks a lot about that. But he says here, the main way of looking at it is the doctrine. How they view Jesus Christ is whether or not they are truly a believer or not. Then you see, and the third point is, being deceived can deprive the Christian of rewards. Being deceived can deprive Christians of their rewards. In verse number 8, it says there, but that we receive a full reward. If you spend time, you entertain them, you listen to their false doctrine, you send them away, guess what? You're not going to have the rewards you can. Now, once you say fellowshipping with people or spending time with people, there's a fine line. The way I deal with people who I believe are unsaved, I try to bring them Jesus Christ. That's their greatest need. Sometimes that means I'm a friend to them. Sometimes that means I show that I'm concerned and how I care for them, just as Jesus Christ did. But we're trying to bring them to Jesus Christ. That's their greatest need. But if you're going to spend time listening to their false doctrine and encouraging them in their work, you're going to lose rewards according to what the Bible says. And the fourth thing, we are to have nothing to do with those who err concerning the doctrine of Jesus Christ. There's not supposed to be people that we spend close, intimate fellowship time with. Now, once again, we need to bring people to Christ. The Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons need to be one to Christ. Yes, they do. We need to present and teach them to Christ. And here it's talking about not to wish them Godspeed, not to listen to their false doctrine. So, Pastor, what do you do when somebody comes up? Well, I heard a suggestion that was made, and someone told me a story this past week. It says that one of the previous pastor wives here at this church, Pastor Holland's wife, made a suggestion to this individual, and he says that if you begin to quote Second John 7, for many deceivers entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. If you ask someone, especially a Jehovah's Witness, that many times you'll just turn around and leave. And there's been a couple different instances in this individual's life where they left when you tell them, look, this is the deceiver here. And he says that they're acting as a deceiver. He says that many times they just turn around and just left because they know that you know the truth of the Bible and that you view them as a deceiver, and you're not going to listen to them. You're not going to give them the right hand of fellowship. You're not going to let them in your house, let them as a pastor spread out their false things. And so in verse number 7, it refers to just, and I think that's a good thing to do. Ask him about 2 John 7. Ask him about, the Bible says if you don't believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, that he was God, coming in the flesh, what does that mean? That means at one point in time he was not of the flesh, and he came in the flesh. That means there was a change, that he had to be God to begin with, and he came in the flesh, that you're a deceiver according to what the Bible says. And according to what it says in verse number 10, I'm not supposed to listen to you. I'm not supposed to wish you Godspeed. And then what this individual says, that these people move super fast. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. That's a good thing. They just get up and leave. And that's it can teach and show people that you know the Bible there. And that, let me also caution you a little bit about too much studying and too much time of putting false doctrines in your head to combat. I mean, you want to be wise, you want to understand the Bible, you don't want to know the Bible, but you don't want to give the devil a chance to try to warp your mind or mess with your mind and your brain too. So we need to make sure that we know the truth so we can present it, so we'll be able to stand before people, but your brain can only handle so much. And whatever you're putting in, you're not putting the Bible in it. So you guys remember that. Okay, a word of conclusion here, verses 12 and 13. He says, having many things, in verse number 12, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. In other words, what he's saying is, I can tell it better to you than I can write it. David even says this. He says, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. When David began to write this wonderful 45th psalm, psalm of praise to Christ, he simply said, I wish I could tell you. I can say it better than I can write it. And some people are talkers and some people are writers. And what John is saying here, that he's hoping to come see this woman because he's saying, I could tell it to you so much better than I could write it to you. And that's it's a personal note. He is writing to this woman. He's not ripping this lady up and down for what happened. He's trying to help her understand that these people are deceivers. Stay away from them. Don't allow them in your house. Don't entertain them. Do not give them the right hand of fellowship. That can cause you to lose your reward. Not only can that cause you to lose your reward, but that can also help you that you're helping them further their work. Now you say, Pastor, that is not something that's usually heard or taught. That's something that's kind of strange and different. You know, it's found right here in the Bible. And that's why I think this little book was written here on purpose to help us understand the truth, that we need to know the truth. And there are deceivers out there, and that even believers can be deceived into believing something that's not true. Look what our living truth is. You say, so how do I apply all this to our lives? I think it begins with just sincerely loving God and the brethren. If you learn how to love God and you learn how to love the brethren, you follow along with the Bible's teaching here, then you're going to be able to just love God in sincerity. The Bible says in 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. And that word truth's there. You know, once again, we need to be sincere with our beliefs. You know, and 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, in sincerity. You know, we need sincerity. And it talks about in simplicity and in godly sincerity. That's how we need to serve and we need to love one another. Remember, love with obedience is sentiment. Obedience with love is servitude. And, you know, what we need to do is learn how to love with sincerity. We need to love God with sincerity. But as we love God with sincerity, we're not just going to do it in word. We're not just going to do it in tongue. But we're going to show it with our deeds. And all the world's going to know that we're his disciples because of how we treat one another. But we're going to do it in truth. It's based off the truth. It's based off the fellowship of the truth. Joshua 24:14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Now it's when we do things in sincerity. One of the messages I'm working on is found in 2 Corinthians, and it's talking about how we need to love with simplicity and godly sincerity. The Bible is simple when it teaches us the doctrines of the word. It says, look, if you obey me, then that's how you show me your love. When you show love one to another, the world can know. You know, we like to put so much little things in it and try to force people to do this and force people to do that. But if we will just love in godly sincerity and simplicity, if we just go and living our lives according to the way of the Lord and let the Lord lead us and direct us, our lives become so much simpler. And we can serve God with a clear heart and a clear conscience. I don't know about you, but man, having a clean or clear conscience is a wonderful, wonderful asset to have. And just not, you know, so many times people try to make you feel guilty about your Christian life. You should be doing this, you should be doing that, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. If you serve him with godly sincerity and simplicity, you're following his commandments, you're not going to feel guilty because you're doing what God's called you to do and living for God the best way you know how. Now, does that mean that I can go out and live whatever way you want? No, because you're not sincere in your love. You're not sincere in your work. And so that's why it's so important. And maybe someday soon we'll be looking at that message. Ephesians 6:24 says, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. That's where the unmerited favor of God is going to come in your life. It's not when you put on some type of mask. It's not when you go through some type of show. It's not when you're trying to demonstrate for somebody else. It's when you love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. It's sincerely, out of a heart for God, the love just comes out for one another. And some people are easier to love. Some Christians are easier to love than others. Don't get me wrong. There are people that make it easy, and there's some people who make it difficult. But loving one another is a way that people get to see that we're God's disciples. Okay, I think that's it for today, and we look at 2 John. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Lord, thankful for today. Thankful for the chance to come to your house. Lord, I think of this woman who has a great desire to want to serve you, and Lord, she's confused by these men who came, and they did not serve and believe the same way she did. And Lord, she was looking for wisdom on what to do. Thank you for including this book in your word. Thank you for preserving it for us. Thank you for teaching us that there are deceivers out there. And Lord, how people view you is how we should view them, whether or not they are brothers and sisters in the Lord. Lord, there's many people out there that says they're Christians today. There's many people out there today that say that they're believers. But Lord, help us to view how they view Jesus Christ and his completed work on the cross and their need for salvation as what true believers are. Lord, I pray you speak to people's hearts today. Help us to truly serve with godly sincerity and with simplicity. In Jesus' name, amen.